Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our ascended Savior, who suffered and died and rose again so that we might have life, life in him, life in this world, but not of this world. Let me share with you once again a couple of verses from John chapter 17. These are Jesus' words to his heavenly Father on our behalf. From John chapter 17, again, selected verses. Jesus says, I will remain in the world no longer, but they are still in the world, and I am coming to you. Holy Father, protect them by the power of your name, the name you gave me, so that they may be one as we are one. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by that name that you gave me. None has been lost except the one doomed to destruction, so that the scripture would be fulfilled. My prayer is not that you take them out of this world, but that you protect them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of it. Sanctify them by the truth. Your word is truth. In the world, not of the world. Do you remember Beam Me Up, Scotty? Interesting, Pastor Snow mentioned Star Trek last weekend. I wanted to talk to you about this Beam Me Up, Scotty, because that used to be something I prayed a lot. I prayed a lot, and I knew it was science fiction. I knew that Star Trek and Scotty was the technician and so on, and Captain Kirk, you know. But every time Captain Kirk got into trouble, all he had to do was say, Beam Me Up, Scotty, and what happened? He got a chance to leave, didn't he? Have you ever wished for that? Have you ever been in a situation that's just really gotten so uncomfortable for you that you'd say, Beam Me Up, Jesus. Beam Me Up. Take me out of this life. Just help me to get up there. We know Jesus can do it. Enoch walked with God and was no more. Remember that from Genesis? We know that Jesus can do that because we have Elijah. Elijah, who went up in the fiery chariot, who God did rescue and took him directly up into heaven. We know that God can do that because this past Thursday was the 40th day after Easter, the ascension of our Lord, where the disciples physically saw Jesus being taken up into heaven out of their sight. Beam me up, Jesus. Boy, there's still situations where I pray that and I would like to be out of this world. But Jesus' answer is always, no, I still need you in this world. Just don't become of this world. What a fantastic prayer Jesus prays. Jesus prays this prayer sometime up in the garden, up in the upper room, where he's washed their feet and done the Lord's Supper, instituted the Lord's Supper, as they're going to the Garden of Gethsemane. And he's praying this out loud so that his disciples can hear this prayer. It is so very helpful for us as he prays, I will remain in the world no longer. Jesus knew that Friday night he would be crucified. That Saturday and Sunday he'd be in the tomb and then he'd rise again and then 40 days later he'd ascend into heaven. Jesus knew, I will not remain in the world much longer, but they are still in the world. While I was with them, I protected them and kept them safe by the name that you gave me. Jesus prays really four things. Jesus prays four things to his heavenly Father for his disciples, but also for us. He prays these things for you and for me as well. He prays for us because we're still in the world. He still has us here in the world for a purpose. And while we're in this world, he knows the world is a dangerous place. The world is a very difficult place, especially for Christians. And so Jesus prays, while they're in the world, Heavenly Father, protect them. Protect them. And protect them so they do not become of this world. So they don't become a part of this world. That they're always separated from this world. And protect them by the power of my name. Sanctify them. Keep them holy. Keep them set apart as my holy people, as my special people. Do it through your word of truth. The disciples wanted to see and touch Jesus. You remember on Easter, Mary came, and when she saw Jesus after the resurrection, she went over and hugged him, and you remember what Jesus says? Don't hold on to me, because I have not ascended to my Father. But go tell my disciples that I have not ascended to my Father and your Father, but that he would appear to the disciples. Thomas, we know that. It's always the Sunday after Easter. What did Thomas want to do? He wanted to touch Jesus. He wanted to have that physical presence of Jesus, knowing that the world was a dangerous place and that he needed to have that presence of Jesus with him. But Jesus said, blessed are those who have not seen, who have not touched and felt, and yet believed. Jesus knows how very important it is for us to know he is with us. And so before he ascended into heaven, the end of Matthew chapter 28, the Great Commission, as many of us know, Jesus says, go make disciples of all nations, do it by baptizing and teaching, and lo, I am with you always. Jesus is with us again tonight. Jesus is with us each and every day. We can't necessarily touch him and feel him like the disciples would like to have done, and maybe sometimes we would as well, but Jesus is always with us. Again tonight, he's very physically with us in bread and wine, his body and blood that he gives to us once again as that very tangible way of reminding us that he is with us and always with us. And we need him because this world is a very dangerous place. It's very easy to become a part of the world, to go along with the ways of the world, not just to be in the world, but we can slide off into being of the world. And that's the devil's desire. In fact, it's not just the devil's desire. We have the devil, the world, and even our own sinful flesh. How interesting it is that Jesus talks about this, and he tells us, do not love the world or the things in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him, for that is in the world. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. That doesn't come from the Father, but it's of the world. The world is passing away, and the lust of it, but he who does the will of God abides forever. Being of the world means that our eyes get caught up in wanting all the things that the world offers. Being of the world means that our flesh can get caught up in wanting all that the world does and to do all the things that the world does. And of course, the pride is that we want the world to like us and to go along with the things that we do, and we don't want to speak out against the world, and maybe somebody won't like what it is that we're saying. Ah, Satan knows that. Jesus does too. And Jesus prayed for us and prays for us that we not become of this world, that we remain protected by his protection. Immediate gratification, wanting to have the very best of this life, thinking that this life is what it's all about, and forgetting that there's a much greater life that God has for you and for me. Thinking that this life is only about me, rather than a way of loving and serving others. We know of someone very specifically who became of the world, and Jesus mentions him, his disciple Judas. Judas became of the world. Even though Judas for 3 years had followed Jesus and was one of his disciples and was very near to him, he did not believe. He became of the world. He loved money more than he loved his Savior, and it was that love of money that was the root of all evil for him. It was the thing that tore him away from the kingdom. What an example to us. As God's word says, let him who thinks that he stands take heed lest he fall, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Oh, how important it is that as we live in this world, the things of this world don't take over our life. So we're still in the world. Even though I pray, beam me up, Jesus, even though I ask at times, take me out of this world, Jesus still has a purpose for me and for you. He could take us home anytime. He could take us to heaven at any time. But he still has a purpose for you and for me. And that purpose that you and I have is to speak his word, to share his word, to help others to know their Lord and Savior, Jesus. Everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved, Paul will write in Romans chapter 10. But how can they call on the one that they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear unless someone tells them? Consequently, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. You and I are still in the world because God still has good works prepared for us to do. He still has opportunities for us to share that love of Jesus in wonderful and in great ways. Now, it might be that we think that it has to be some big, fantastic, stupendous way that God is going to work through us. But that's not always the case. You've heard of random acts of kindness, haven't you? How God works in these very small ways. We always have devotions with our staff. Our teachers get together. This past Thursday, we had a great devotion that I said is going to fit right in with a sermon here. Mrs. Snow had shared with us, Joan Markshausen was telling the story of a little boy named Jamie. It was about Christmas time, after Christmas time, and Jamie said to his dad, Daddy, I want to see the Christmas star. His daddy thought for a moment and he said, Jamie, you'll see the Christmas star, but it won't be up in the sky. Jamie couldn't quite figure that one out, and he wondered what Dad was talking about, and so he went on his way. Little Jamie, as he was going then to the playground with his brown bag sack lunch, there was a little girl along the way who was crying. And Jamie came over and said, oh, it's going to be okay, and hugged her and smiled. She seemed to feel just a little bit better. As Jamie went to the park and he was playing in the park, and he saw that there was an older gentleman sitting on the park bench. And he said, are you hungry? The man said he was. So Jamie got out half of his peanut butter and jelly sandwich and shared it with that man on the park bench. As he was going home, he saw one of the mail carriers that looked like he was pretty thirsty, and he said, hey, you want a drink of water? I got a bottle of water here for you. And then he talked to his neighbor, his 85-year-old neighbor who just happened to be outside, and visited with him just for a little bit. That night, Jamie came home. It got to be devotion time and bedtime, and Dad said, Jamie, did you see the Christmas star? Jamie was all confused, and he didn't quite understand what Daddy was talking about. Well, Dad had been watching Jamie. Dad had watched Jamie and had seen what Jamie had been doing all through that day. And what Dad told Jamie is, the Christmas star shone through you. When you helped the little girl, when you helped the man on the bench, when you helped that male person, when you helped your neighbor, as you did those loving acts, Jesus' shining star shone through you. We're in the world. We're in the world for a reason. We're in the world because God has these wonderful opportunities for us to love and to serve others. And by loving and serving others, maybe they hear the name of Jesus. If not, they see the name of Jesus in our lives, and we have an opportunity to speak the name of Jesus to them. The Apostle Paul, talking to young Timothy, and I know, Brian, you like to use this with the youth group, but I'm glad that you do. Set an example as these young people. Set an example in speech, in conduct, in love, in faith, and in purity. That's not just for the youth, by the way. That's for us adults as well. In all that we do, set an example. Help people to see Jesus through us in all the things that we do. Jesus' prayer. I don't pray that you take them out of this world, but while they're in this world, don't let them become of this world. And then Jesus says, my prayer is that you protect them by the power of your name. The power of God's name. You and I had God's name placed upon us at our baptism. You and I walk around with the power of God's name in us and on us. You and us are empowered by God to live in this world and not to become a part of it. You and I are defended by that word of God. I hope that's why you're here again tonight, to hear God's word, to be empowered again by God's word, to receive Jesus' body and blood so that we have that power to go back out into the world and in the world, not of the world, and share that gospel and that wonderful message of Jesus Christ. The Apostle Paul would rejoice. He says, "It's no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And the life I now live, I live by faith in the Son of God who gave his life for me." Paul would write, "I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." And for you and I, we continue to live in Jesus Christ as well. We continue empowered by that word, continued to serve in the world for the purpose of serving. Serving God by serving other people. We've been talking the last couple of sermons, that question, how may I serve you? That's why we're in the world. We're in the world because Jesus has served us, and now we bring that wonderful gift of service to others. What opportunities that we have. Like little Jamie, like adults as well, many opportunities in this world to serve, to show our love to our Savior. What a joy that is as he works in us and through us. May that peace of God that passes all our understanding always keep our hearts and our minds centered in Jesus Christ, serving him unto life everlasting. Amen.